This is the PoetryFoundation.org podcast for Tuesday, April 25th. I'm Curtis Fox. Today, a trip into space with Tom Slay. Every Tuesday this month on the PoetryFoundation.org podcast, we've been featuring poets reading their own poems. Tom Slay was born in Texas, which is where we happen to record him, but he actually lives just a few blocks from where I'm recording now, in Brooklyn, New York. He teaches at Hunter College in Manhattan. We're going to hear Tom Slay read two of his poems. One's a short political poem, and the other's an involved space fantasy about the poet's family. The first one is called Fable. Slay said he wrote it in response to a demonstration in New York City protesting the Iraq War, where the police were aggressively employing horses for crowd control.
And I happened to see a protest sign, which I thought was quite funny. And it said, a little village in Texas has lost its idiot. And then I began, when I wrote the poem, I thought about the holy idiot. Well, what kind of a character is a holy idiot? The holy idiot might be equally as scary as he is holy. And then he might be an agent of justice, but he could equally well be an agent of terror.
So a poem that begins with a political slogan becomes a meditation about the nature of political power.
Fable. A little village in Texas has lost its idiot, read the caption on a protest sign. But where, oh where, is the holy idiot? Truth teller and soothsayer, familiar of spirits, rat eater, unhouseled wanderer whose garble and babble fill rich and poor, homeless and housed, with awe and fear? Is he hiding in the pit of the walkie-talkie, its grid of holes insatiably hungry, almost like a baby, sucking in the police sergeant's quiet voice as he calls in reinforcements? Oh, holy idiot! Is that you sniffing the wind for the warm turd smell on the mounted policemen, backing their horses' quivering skittish haunches into the demonstrators' faces? Oh, little village among the villages, the wild man, the holy bedlamite is gone, and nobody now knows where to find him. Lying in mud, lying caked in mud, hair elfed into knots. Some poor mad Tom roving the heath for a warm, soft place to lie his body down, his speech obsessed with oaths, demons, his tongue calling forth the foul fiend, flipperted gibbet, as the horses back slowly, slowly into the crowd. And he eats filth, he crams his ravenous mouth with filth. And then he sits on his stool in the trampled hay and deep rutted mud. He anoints himself with ashes and clay. He puts on his crown of fumiter weed and holds his scepter of a smoldering poker and calls the court to order.
Tom Slay reading his poem, Fable. The next poem we're going to hear also begins rather simply, with an amusing image of gravity-free weightlessness, but then it quickly gathers metaphorical and emotional complexity as it moves along. Like Fable, the poem got its start from something the poet saw.
I went to see a movie by Andrei Tarkovsky called Solaris, and in the movie, what happens is you have this really dilapidated space station. And what happens in the space station is that the dead come back to actual physical form on the space station. And so everybody, in a certain sense, gets to relive the fantasy of having their people whom they loved who are dead, and these people come back to them and they visit them and they talk. It's sort of like the reality that happens to you when you're having a dream and, say, your dead father or dead mother comes back to you and you're so convinced that it's real that, let's say, you're sad and you wake up with your eyes wet or some other kind of emotion.
Tom Slay's poem is called Space Station. There's one technical fact that we need to know to get what's going on in the poem. Apparently, and I'm told this and I have to take it on faith, a space station generates artificial gravity by revolving, and occasionally the station has to switch directions and spin the other way. I have no idea why. But that transition creates a long moment of zero-gravity weightlessness. This is the moment where Slay's poem begins. So strap on your seatbelts and get comfortable. This poem's about 4 minutes long.
Space Station. My mother and I and the dog were floating weightless in the kitchen. Silverware hovered above the table. Napkins drifted just below the ceiling. The dead who had been crushed by gravity were free to move about the room, to take their place at supper, lift a fork, knife, spoon. A spoon, knife, fork, that, outside this moment's weightlessness, would have been immovable as mountains. My mother and I and the dog were orbiting in the void that follows after happiness of an intimate gesture. Her hand stroking the dog's head and the dog looking up, expectant, into her eyes. The beast gaze so direct and alienly concerned to have its stare returned. The human gaze that forgets for a moment that it sees what it's seeing and simply, fervently sees. But only for a moment. Only for a moment where my mother and the dog, looking at each other, not mother or dog, but that look. I couldn't help but think, if only I were a dog, or mother was, then that intimate gesture, this happiness passing, could last forever. Such a vain, hopeless wish I was wishing. I knew it and didn't know it, just as my mother knew she was my mother and didn't. And as for the dog, her large black pupils, fixed on my mother's faintly smiling face, seemed to contain a drop of the void we were all suspended in. Though only a dog who chews a ragged rawhide chew toy shaped into a bone, femur or cannon bone of the heavy body that we no longer labored to lift against the miles-deep air pressing us to our chairs. The dog pricked her ears, sensing a dead one approaching. Crossing the kitchen, my father was moving with the clumsy gestures of a man in a spacesuit. The strangeness of death moving among the living. Though the world was floating with a lightness that made us feel we were phantoms. I don't know if my mother saw him. He didn't look at her when he too put his hand on the dog's head and the dog turned its eyes from her stare to his. And then the moment on its axis reversed, the kitchen spun us the other way round and pressed heavy hands down on our shoulders so that my father sank into the carpet. My mother rested her chin on her hand and let her other hand slide off the dog's head. Her knuckles bent in a kind of torment of moonscape erosion, ridging up into peaks giving way to seamed plains with names like the Sea of Tranquility. Though nothing but a metaphor for how I saw her hand, her empty, still strong hand, dangling all alone in the infinite space between the carpet and the neon-lit ceiling.
Tom Slay reading his poem, Space Station. Tomorrow on the PoetryFoundation.org podcast, cultural editor of The New Republic, Leon Wieseltier, talks about Gabriel Prile. Haven't heard of him? He's an American poet who happened to write in Yiddish and Hebrew.
Fundamentally, he was a Jewish poet, but he was a poet who wrote in two Jewish languages about his experiences in America.
If you're enjoying these podcasts, please spread the word. Tell your friends and colleagues about it, or write a review on iTunes or in your favorite podcast directory. We always want to hear what you think of this program. Do you hate it? Love it? Do you have any suggestions? Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The music used in this podcast comes from the Claudia Quintet. For the PoetryFoundation.org podcast, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.